But we always walk around with some other people that are assisting us to be able to get on with the work in this community. The lady who's moved one of us. She's got a beautiful dress. I don't know what to say. You see the right area. Yeah, she's the secretary for the committee who's not there. Next to me is the lady who's always writing next to me. We've got two kids there who's part of our study group from the African National Conference. Those are the people that I know. Most of the people that are sitting there are the nurses.
Northern Shepherd Inn of the Portfolio Committee. My name is Nusanta Makanya. I'm the chairperson for the South African Muslim Council.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson of the Committee and Honourable Members. My name is Sido Elam Kim. I'm the acting registrar and CEO of the South African Chapter.
Is a tun with a CH. Thank you, Chairperson. And as a nursing council, we appreciate the opportunity to come and share with the Portfolio Committee on Health our work that we do in regulating the nursing profession. We were given specific questions that we had prepared a presentation around. However, we would be available for engaging on any matters that relate to the work of the Nursing Council. I will start off by just giving an overview of what we do as a council, and my colleague, Ms. Nkulu, would give a detailed presentation around the four questions that you forwarded to us. Our reading of the question was, the interest is around the education component of our work. And probably it would be proper to begin by outlining who we are. The Nursing Council is a statutory body established in terms of the Act, which is the Nursing Act, basically of 2005. And the main purpose of the Nursing Council as one of the five statutory health councils is to regulate nursing profession, particularly to ensure safety of all users of healthcare facilities and to ensure that people who come to health services are attended to by skilled and competent nurses. And the way that we ensure, so our role is to ensure that nurses that get employed to look after sick citizens in South Africa are competent and skilled and professional in what they are doing. What then the council does is to regulate, to ensure that the education component is well regulated and the practice is well regulated. And the regulation is through a series of instruments that we use to regulate the profession. But I think what is important is that we need to highlight that regulating practice is a delegated function from the Minister of Health. We are doing it on behalf of the Minister of Health, who is a custodian for the health system in South Africa. So the Minister delegates the function of regulating the nursing profession to the Nursing Council. Briefly then, focusing on the education component. The education component, which will be the focus of our presentation primarily, nursing is the council regulates education, and what we do in regulating the education, we work in partnership with those critical stakeholders that are highlighted. And primarily, the National Department of Health is the custodian of health services, and the council liaises with the National Department of Health in terms of training for nurses. The role of the Department of Health in nurse training focuses on two components. Nursing is about competencies and practice. The education component includes the Department of Health establishing training colleges. It is the function of the department to establish training colleges, and in this regard, there are colleges of nurses established by the department in 9 provinces. And the details of the colleges will be part of the presentation. And secondly, the critical role of the National Department of Health in the training of nurses relates to provision of clinical sites, areas for student nurses spend 1 day in clinical facilities and 4 days in a college. Year two is 2 days in clinical facilities and 3 days in Calvin College. Year three days in clinical facilities and 2 days at college. And year four, then it's 4 days. So it's progressively and gradually become clinical days. So the role of the department is to provide clinical facilities in terms of nursing training. What then the council does when the clinical facility, when the nursing colleges have been established in terms of the role of the Department of Health, then the council has an oversight role to make sure that those colleges meet the minimum requirements that would ensure quality training, learning experiences for nurses. And we do what we call accreditation of those facilities. And they have to meet certain requirements in terms of being worthy of providing the required training experience for nurses. We do accreditation of both the facilities, so the training institutions, which is colleges, as well as clinical facilities. Those clinical facilities, they also have to be assessed and accredited to see that they meet the learning requirements that nurses need. If you look then at the next critical stakeholder is the SAQA on the left. SAQA is established again on its own terms with a specific role to be a custodian of qualifications. All qualifications in South Africa are established by SAQA. So SAQA becomes the authority for all qualifications, including nursing and any other qualification. And the key role in terms of our relationship with SAQA is that SAQA has standardized the nature of qualifications in the sense that if a South African citizen has a national diploma in terms of knowledge, skills, and competency, it should be at an expected level irrespective of a discipline or in a irrespective of a learning field. It could be a national diploma in nursing, in land surveying, in engineering, wherever other learning fields, but the worthiness of the qualification should be the same. And that is what SAQA is doing in terms of determining the level of qualification with the aim of standardizing the qualification. It's quite important to understand that the role of SAQA in relation to the level and the pegging of the current and the new nursing qualification in terms of the national qualification framework. With the Department of Education, so we have the relationship with SAQA to make sure that our qualification meets their requirements in terms of their prescription. On the other hand, because nursing is offered at two levels, it's offered at universities and it is offered at colleges. Like I said, colleges that are controlled and managed by provincial departments of health. Then we also have a relationship with the Department of Education. And in terms of mainstream education, including nursing, the Department of Education has established two structures, the Council on Higher Education and UMALUSI. And we need to then, when we offer a qualification that belongs to higher education, then we also have to conform to the prescripts of the Council on Higher Education. And the same with UMALUSI, which is an further education and training a component of the Department of Education. And UMALUSI, again, controls further education and training component, and nursing, again, has further education and training component of our qualification. So all of these people, when we're looking at regulating nursing education, we need to make sure that we conform with the principles of the National Department of Health, of SAQA, of the Department of Health, of Council on Higher Education, as well as UMALUSI. I think that's the context that we want to highlight so that you then could locate the details in terms of the presentation. So I then hand over to my colleague.
In this presentation, we'll try and outline some of the details that will help us to further understand and further interrogate the structure that the chairperson of the board has just given. The structure of our presentation is such that our understanding says, much as we were asked to brief the portfolio committee on national colleges, we said we'd ask the committee to indulge us so that instead of dealing with the college, which is just one structure providing nursing education in the country, we'll take the liberty of saying let's deal with all nursing education institutions. Because nursing education and training is not only offered in colleges, but it's offered at a variety of institutions so that we're able to conceptualize our deliberations afterwards. And it is for this reason that we've given the context of nursing training and the differentiation of nursing education institutions in the country before we look at the brief as it was given, which we are then going to deal with in a bit more detail. The context of nursing education and training in this country, I think Member Kanya has just given us a brief to say we obtain our brief from the law, and I think that the chairperson of the committee actually outlined that at the beginning. Nurse training in this country is located in nursing, what we call nursing education institutions, and this is actually outlined in our new nursing act of 2005. This is just a term encompassing all institutions that have been accredited by the South African Nursing Council. If they are complying with the requirements of the structure that have just been indicated, and then all of these institutions are then they go through a process of accreditation, meeting those requirements, and then by definition, once they are accredited, we collectively call them nursing education institutions. Now, the four categories that we've got basically, there might be others, include universities, but not all of the universities in this country, but only universities where they are nursing science units. And we say units because some call them schools of nursing, some call them nursing science departments, some call them nursing directories within those universities. And we're going to give a breakdown of those afterwards. The second category is that of universities of technology, but for purposes of fact checking the discussion, we'll discuss both of them together. The universities of technology are the ones that we have previously called technical. Now, it's also not all of them in the country that are offering nursing courses, but there are about three in this country. Some of them, as you know, through the major process, they have been made to some of the universities to form one institution. Thirdly, I think it's this category that was highlighted in the brief that was asked by the portfolio committee, is the nursing college. At the moment, the nursing colleges belong with the, they reside with the Department of Health. They reside with the provincial Department of Health. There are no private nursing colleges at the moment that were born in this country. We know that some of the institutions have actually tried to become colleges, but they have also complied with very stringent requirements from Council on Education, and some of them are making progress. But they are quite a lot of stringent requirements. The last category of nursing education institutions is what we call nursing schools. Now we've got many of those in the country, and we've divided them into two again for the sake of facilitating discussions. They are public schools as well as private nursing education institutions. The difference between the first three categories. Then, the three best categories can offer any qualification from certificate awarding to a degree with an exception of nursing training. And the last, which is the fourth, the nursing school, belong with the structure that Ms. Makaya said in Umanu. They are further education and training institutions, which means if you look at the structure of qualifications in this country, they can offer participation up to in these institutions, the programs that are offered lead to a variety of things, but it also depends on the nature of the institution that is offering the program. Some award short-term, short-course certificates, we can talk about those later. They can also offer programs that lead to 1 or 2 year certificates or diplomas, both the pre-registration and also post-graduate levels. And the last couple of courses, that of degree, at any level, from the student degree right up to doctoral degree. Now, the offering, as we have said, is divided into, as we know, the education sector has got the higher education sector as well as the further education and training sector. The universities and universities of technology are focused on, they can actually focus on all of them, but particularly on diplomas and degrees, and the further education and training institutions, usually on short courses as well as 1 to 2 year certificate awards. Now, differentiating between a college, which was our brief for this meeting, and the other learning education institutions, some of the differentiating factors, I think Ms. Makhane has already highlighted. Nursing colleges, in our definition as the Nursing Council, because they are not at the moment defined as the colleges of police or the colleges of education or colleges of agriculture because of their setting. In our own definition, the nursing college is a post-secondary structure or an institution that we have given a status of a college because it meets certain minimum requirements, which are not the requirements that are set up for universities or universities of technology. They are also not requirements that are set up for the further education and training institutions, which are the nursing schools. Now, the college is a unique kind of institution, and as a result, you'll find that it offers a mixed bag of qualifications or programs. In our definition, a nursing college, because at the moment, as you may all know, the nursing colleges are just provincial structures, like the chairperson of the board. They are not at the moment defined as higher education institutions, but they do offer qualifications at the higher education bed. They may be declared as higher education institutions, but that is a prerogative, not of the Minister of Health, but that of the Minister of Education. And that is provided for in the Higher Education Act. Now, what you also require of colleges, considering that, unlike nursing schools, they offer qualifications that fall into higher education, which would otherwise be offered by universities. We normally say a college should have a cooperative agreement with a university so that it is whatever is done at a college, the quality of offering, from curriculum development up to delivery and assessment, those are the things that are overseen by a university. And most of the colleges have a university of choice. This might be within the same province or else in another province. This also says whatever skills and competencies are there at university level, research, teaching methodologies, and so on, can be cascaded to the colleges, considering that they are offering qualifications at post-graduate level. What we also require of colleges, looking at the nature of their offering, is that they must also have governance structures that are different from those of the nursing schools, like boarding schools and private nursing schools. And these are their own college councils and their own college synods. So that whatever curriculum development processes and systems, whatever delivery of teaching, whatever assessment is also overseen by these structures over and above the people that are responsible for provisioning of education in that institution. And as we have said, Honorable Chairperson, the colleges are a competency of the provincial Department of Health. And we'll give a breakdown of the colleges later on. Universities and universities of technology, and we're specifically focusing on those that have got nursing science departments. These are established by the Ministry of Education, or they are deemed to have been established by the Minister of Education and not by the Minister of Health. And I think
going back again to the slide that was shown by Ms. Makan, this begins to tell us the relationship that the Department of Health has to have with the Department of Education in order to ensure that we have got cohesion in the education of nurses. Now, these are a national competency, as we all know, and they've got their separate budget, which comes from Department of Education, and these institutions can literally offer anything from awarding certificates to awarding a degree. One thing, Professor, that we could have mentioned in the slide on colleges is that the colleges that are well-functioning have got to have their own budget, and their budget comes from the provincial departments of health, and their budget has got to be used for literally everything from personnel, operations, and a lot of other things, like bursaries for students for those colleges that use a bursary system. The nursing education institutions at a further education and training level. These are the ones that you said are defined as nursing schools. The public nursing schools, and we still have quite a lot of those in the country, that are about 88 that are active at the moment. These actually a competency of the hospital administration, and even their budget is coming from the administration of hospitals in most cases. And they are usually under the nursing service managers. Some of us used to call them matrons, and those are the people that we appoint ahead of the nursing school within a hospital setting. We have seen quite a lot of them becoming inactive over the past few years. Why? Because they are training. Some of the programs that have been offered by the hospital training school have been taken over by the provincial colleges, especially those provinces that have expanded their colleges in terms of opening up a lot of campuses in each province. For instance, we do have, KwaZulu-Natal has got 11 campuses. Got one big college for the province, but there are 11 campuses, which means within a province, then you find hospital training that can be offered at a college. Now, taken up there, and the hospital that was offering the training becomes inactive, although it still is in the database of the country as an accredited institution. Private nursing schools, these also play a very critical role, and they are almost as many as the public nursing schools. These are entities of hospital groupings. We would know of some of them to give an example, like NetCare and the Life Health Care and the MediClinics. We do have those groupings. And the others belong to individuals, as in one individual, or as a group of individuals. And of course, invariably, these then will become juristic persons by virtue of them acquiring this data. Now, when it comes to the action briefs that we were given, the number, because number one said we should provide the honorable members with the number of the colleges in the country. So instead of providing the number of colleges in the country, we are giving you a breakdown of all nursing education institutions. Total are such that we have got universities of technology, there are 21, and I think Professor and honorable members should also know that there have been mergers of some of the higher education institutions. We have got 34 campuses of nursing colleges in the country. We have got 88 of the public nursing schools, the ones that you said are under hospital administration, and we have got 81 of the private nursing schools throughout the country. We'll give you the breakdown provincially, and the total of active nursing education institutions at the moment is 224. And I'm sorry about that. I did confirm that number is 145. The total number of inactive schools is 145, not 147. The breakdown per province. I hope this color does not set us off. The breakdown per province is as is reflected there. In Gauteng, we've got a total of 45 nursing education institutions with a breakdown that is given there. In KZN, we've got 59 nursing education institutions. In Limpopo, we've got 21. In Mpumalanga, we've got 21. In Northwest, we've got 14. In the Free State, we've got 17. In the Eastern Cape, we've got 25. Western Cape, we've got 21. Northern Cape, we've got only one. That is the one province that has got only a college a College of Nursing and no other training institution. Honourable Chairperson, then one other question that we ask is how are the nursing colleges funding? We would like to indicate here that we're going to get into the different modes of funding. But the funding is not a competency of the South African Nursing Council, but it is, however, very important for us to understand because it does affect training, it does affect the throughput of students. The nursing colleges in the country use various models of funding for the college itself as well as for individual or groups of students, depending again on whether we have got the basic or pre-graduate students or we have got postgraduate students. One model that I think is legitimate is that of the college budget coming from the provincial department of health, which caters for operations, for personnel, for affiliation agreements, for agency agreements. That is a new phenomenon. For instance, here at the Western Cape, we have what we call an agency agreement between their college and one university. In some instances, from the very same budget, you will find that the college has also got to have a certain amount of money put aside for student bursaries. But this is not the case in all provinces. The second system that is used by other provinces is that of the bursary system. The bursary system is given per student, and in most cases, it will be given to, let me say, in some cases, it is given so that the student is able to pay tuition fees and then also do any other extramural needs. But in certain instances, some of the provinces would say the bursary is going to be restricted to tuition, activities, and whatever else is a remnant there is going to be given then as a stipend. Which means you might have a student that is given money to say you pay for books, you do that, but you may also have a province that says we're controlling the funds, we're going to disperse this money to the education institution, and then whatever remains of the allocation per annum, then it will be given to the student as a remnant, and this is what we call a remnant stipend from a bursary. The third model of funding that you find in some of the provinces, moving from the framework that has been used previously where we had largely hospital nurse training and all nurses were receiving a salary, there are some provinces that still have a salary stipend for all students in the province. There's also self-funding. And self-funding is actually used by postgraduate students. There are also public-private partnerships where you find the private sector, like the big hospital group that I just mentioned before, as example, sending their students to the colleges to the public nursing education institutions, and then they pay for them. So this is where funding comes from. But you will find that small amounts will come from donations for one or the other province. Because I think the law allows them to do that. Honourable Chairperson, when it comes to the next question, because we asked how are these colleges registered and how are the private nursing education institutions accredited? We actually decided that we are going to treat these two processes simultaneously because it's difficult to mutually deal with them because they run parallel. We would just like to find that previously accreditation of nursing education institutions in the country has been a sole mandate of the South African Nursing Council. That is prior to 1995, before the birth of the South African Qualifications Act. The Nursing Council decided who it accredits, which program it withdraws. But of course, that would depend on the requirements and also issues of compliance or non-compliance. Currently, which means from the promulgation of the South African Qualifications Act, things have changed because the whole education landscape in this country changed when that law was passed. There are different laws other than the Nursing Act that control the accreditation as well as the registration of this nursing education institution in the country. laws are complementary, which is a very, very good thing, but you find that some of them are actually conflicting. Well, then you never know in terms of supremacy what requirements should be taken and what should be used if they are not talking the same thing. For instance, the Nursing Act 2005, including the previous one, said the South African Nursing Council is the sole custodian of nurse training in South Africa at every level, from lower levels right up to a degree nursing. At the same time, we have got the Higher Education Act in this country, which was passed in 1997, reviewed just last year, promulgated beginning of this year, and it says the overall responsibility of education in the higher education sector is the sole mandate of the Ministry of Education. So we've got a pull and push factor, and I think this is why we're saying there are laws that are complementary, but there are also those that are conflicting, and sometimes they do tend to interfere with the progress of processes. Secondly, we have then got several, as a result of these laws, we have then got several strategic partners, and these strategic partners, as they were highlighted before, have got separate legal mandates. None of them want to relinquish their responsibilities, lest their child is not compliant with the law. So again, we are in that battlefield where one wants to take control of their field and another says, I've also got a slide in the past. And lastly, if processes that are overlapping and they have since become very, very complex. And that's another thing. While it is very good, but we do find that at this time it does delay processes of accreditation as well as registration of institutions in the country. So what we think as the South African Nursing Council staff and city partners is that the cooperation between these partners is very, very critical, particularly the cooperation between the Ministry of Education and the Ministry of Health, so that middle ground is found in order to deal with these issues. The laws that I've just referred to, I am not going to go into them in detail. For us, the Constitution is an overarching law that gives everyone of us in this room and in this country a right to offer or to provide education and training, but it also balances that out with a responsibility to maintain standards. And this is where then a provision of withdrawal or provision of suspension or provision of de-accreditation of nursing education institutions would come to pass. The National Health Act, for us, is very important that the chairperson has actually outlined that in the slide by indicating that as the Nursing Council, one of the five statutory councils, we are actually advancing the mandate of the Ministry of Health, who is the one who gives the executive function of the healthcare system in South Africa. The core legislation for us is the Nursing Act, which actually says the South African Nursing Council is given by law a responsibility to accredit institutions that want to become nursing education institutions, provided they meet the minimum requirements of the Nursing Council plus those of the strategic partners. The Nursing Council is also given a legal responsibility to accredit nursing programs, which again is what the Department of Education through CAG is saying is their mandate. The Nursing Council is also given a legal responsibility to withdraw accreditation of programs if there's something that goes wrong with the program, or to suspend accreditation of a nursing education institution, or completely withdraw that accreditation if issues of compliance are compromised. Therefore, the South African Nursing Council is given as a core objective a responsibility for setting the standards as well as the quality of nursing education and training in the country. Honorable Chairperson, I will not be long here because the Chairperson has in her slide indicated the role of the South African Qualification Framework, which was established by an Act of Parliament in 1995. Its core responsibility was to establish South Africa's framework for all qualifications in order to ensure that there is cohesion, in order to ensure that all qualifications of same level, like diplomas and degrees, have for the same weighting. That is the general message. That is why we said the South African Qualifications Authority. very, very important strategic structure, because at the moment, all qualifications belong with the South African Qualifications Authority, and they get allocated to certain professional bodies or CPAs, so that those are the structures that are going to drive them. Those are the structures that are going to oversee the accreditation of institutions that offer those programs. The other legislation, Chairperson, that actually affects our accreditation and registration system of the educational institution, as we have indicated, is the Higher Education Act, as well as its amendment passed this year, in 2008. Now, this Act has established the structure that the Chairperson spoke about earlier, the Council on Higher Education, and this has got a permanent committee, which is the one that is given a responsibility to take all statutory responsibilities for higher education, whether you're nursing, or your engineering, or your education, or you science, all learning fields. The core responsibility lies with the Department of Education through the structure. That structure is given exactly the same mandate as the South African Nursing Council. The structure is given the mandate to accredit institutions and to accredit programs, including nursing, including doctors, including engineering. And I think this is where this overlap begins to say we need to have a relationship. Umalusi, I think the chairperson has also made reference to that. This was established by an Act of Parliament again, the Further Education and Training Act, and it's also just been revised. And Umalusi is given a core and overall responsibility for education and training below matric level. And that includes that category of nursing education institutions that we said are nursing schools, because that is the level at which they offer. Now, for accreditation purposes, we then look at these as our strategic partners. We have got the nursing education institutions that are a big pie at the center there, and everyone wants a slice. The South African Nursing Council says, by law, we own these nursing education institutions. Council on Higher Education says, by law, anything in higher education is ours. Umalusi says, by law, anything below matric is ours, which includes our nursing schools. And also, remember, the Department of Health has got the colleges in its grip, and the colleges belong with the provincial Department of Health. The issue about the Department of Education and private day, we put it because the Department of Education comes into play only when it comes to private nursing education institutions, because they have to be registered by the Department of Education. The public institutions are not registered, they do not have to meet any requirement for registration by the Department of Education. But as you said, they are established, they are deemed, or they can be declared. And then we have minimum requirements that have to be met on for them to be either higher education institutions or further education and training institutions. The registration of nursing education institutions, what we wanted to highlight by this slide, Honorable Chairperson and members, is that registration, as we've just said, is not for public institutions. It's not for public colleges. It's not for public schools. It's meant for private nursing education institutions, whether they are higher education institutions or they are further education and training institutions. The Department of Education requires certain additional criteria before it registers them. It needs them to prove issues of financial viability, make them to register with the register of company, a series of other things that are commonly not requested from the public institutions that have been established in terms of other laws. So the accreditation, therefore, of private educational institutions is by the nursing council, if they are the nursing school, like in this case, is also by Council on Higher Education, if they fall in the higher education band, and then Umalusi, if they fall in the further education and training band, then Biggie or Umalusi have fought the proposal to the Department of Education for this private institution to be registered. Honorable Chairperson, as I said, the process at the moment, because it's owned by federal stakeholders, it's long, it's complex, but discussions are underway to say how do we streamline this thing in line with the new legislation that has been promulgated in early this year. The essence from the South African Ethnic Council side is that we receive applications in writing, we give institutions self-assessment tools so that they can go through them, assess themselves in terms of criteria, and we require them documentation that is prescribed, as well as a lot of information that will talk to whether they comply with the capacity to offer what they want to offer, but also whether they comply with the requirements for placement in clinical facilities, because that is the most critical area in educating a man. We're educating for competence, we're educating for skills. So they must comply also with the requirements for clinical facilities. Now this chairperson and members becomes quite challenging for private institutions because, as you will know, government has got its own hospitals, its own clinics. So it's easier for government to say if they want to expand a campus, if they want to do that, then they've got their own health establishment where the students are going to undergo clinical training. But for private institutions, they've got to negotiate and negotiate and negotiate in order to get there, depending on the level of information. But also if you look at the hospital grouping, because they own health institutions in the country, it's easy for them to say, we've identified this need, we want to train this program, we have what the facilities, here they are, and they give the relevant documentation and information, they have the relevant site visits, and their institutions become accredited. And where, again, the challenge is, once the public realize that its needs are increasing, once the hospital groups realize that their needs are increasing, they are inclined to actually say, we come first in our own house, and therefore, if there is no saturation, yes, you can come as an individual private person, but if we are saturated, then we are sorry, we have got to cater because actually begins at home. And one other thing that was mentioned by the chairperson is site visits, which are very important. Documentation alone give us just paper trade, but validations have got to be done to get reliability on the documentation that has been submitted to make sure that the clinical facilities are okay in every respect. And chairperson, I would like to say that when these are done, the Nursing Council looks specifically at what is it that is going to be placed here. Is it a midwife student? Is it an ICU student? Is it a theater student? So that we can specifically look at whether the hospital or a clinic is able to fulfill those needs so that the person comes out with those specific competencies. And if the overall evaluation says that institution in all respects has a capacity to offer, then accreditation is granted. The role of Department of Education and other councils like UMALU is actually the fact that they have their own compliance requirements from this institution. What the Nursing Council has done is to revise its documentation so that when Nursing Education Institutions apply, there is not much duplication of requirements. If, for instance, from the Department of Education, there are requirements like you have to be a legal entity in terms of registration with the registered company, or you have to be registered with the Department of Education. We have already worked on the documentation to actually incorporate all those things so that when our providers or prospective providers apply to us, they already have those things, they are in place, and they know that they are the demand instead of us accrediting them for a year or 2 years, but they're still struggling to get registration in accordance with the compliance requirements of the Department of Education. For the future, Chairperson, the processes are being outlined in line with the legislation that has just been passed now, because a lot has changed, and of course the role of the council has changed. This actually demonstrates that. The role of CHE has changed from 1997 to now. CHE was responsible for accrediting and quality assuring, but
the new law says they must also be responsible for generating qualifications, which means they have to generate qualifications for nursing, for engineering, for other, and we know that is an impossible exercise. And it is for this reason that we're saying the future, it actually does look bright, but it's extremely challenging because all of these partners need to sit in one room, outline these processes, and say, how do we deal with overlapping responsibilities? Chairperson, I would like to say in conclusion, nursing, therefore, is affected by education legislation of the country. That is the primary point of departure, because the SAPA Act is an act from the Ministry of Education. It also affected, I mean, the same laws affect other non-education learning fields, other non-nursing fields. If you go to pharmacy, they're for the same challenges. You go to engineering, they're for the same challenges. You go to commerce, they got the same challenges, because we have got to comply with South Africa's framework for qualifications, all of us, which are needed at particular level, and you can't negotiate yourself out of it. We find, therefore, that our nursing colleges face a particular and unique challenge in the fact that, as we said, they offer a mixed bag of qualifications. They are unlike the small schools, and they know where they belong. They go straight to Umalusi, and they are fine. But the nursing colleges offer certificates, they offer diplomas, and it means then they are torn between, again, because of ownership, they are torn between the provincial Department of Health and the higher education sector. One leg is in higher education, one leg is in further education and training, one leg is in the Department of Education, one leg is in the Department of Health. We thought, Chairperson, with that summary, that does begin to say, who are the nursing education institutions in this country and how do they offer? We know that there's a lot of detail that could have been covered. But thank you very much.
Thank you, Ma'am Tundo and Ma'am Makan. Thank you very much for that information that you've given us. Members, that's the report. Let me welcome Shannon, you'll come later. Have you registered? I'm early considering I have to do higher education before the committee every week, so sorry. Okay, so we'll see the department is around here, department of not department of education, by the way, department of health, they're around, they are welcome, department, Joe, welcome you. So that is what has been said, there's a few questions, but before we go to, we start asking them and getting them. Let's welcome Umema Foro. We've got one lady who was very sick, one of our members was very sick. I'm hoping that she's not going to tell us that the nurses mishandled her, where she was. We don't know. She'll tell us whether she was mishandled or she was handled well in that area. So if members, that's the report. You can switch off from Kun. He doesn't need a degree, that one. Okay. I see Malfuli, I see Ms. Kenya, I see Mike Moore. Okay. We'll go that way. Start Makenya. Let's start with Malfuli and then we come back.
Thank you very much to both Namkuru and Namakai. Thank you very much. For a person like me, really, this has been a very good learning presentation. I wanted no idea what's going on there. But, I just want to make a general, you know, feeling and observation as this presentation has been made to me, especially because, as I say, one is very little knowledge of what's going on, but you felt that, Now, my general feeling is that there's just too much there's too much overlap, duplication, triplication, falsification, or whatever you want to call it. It's huge. Yeah, it's really huge. And one feels that does it really have to be like that? because it seems that, you know, things work better when they are streamlined. Things work better when they are smaller but serve, you know, in straight lines or whatever it is, the purpose for which they are intended, which could perhaps, you know, also contribute perhaps to some of the problems that we see, you know, happening in the, to me, I'm beginning to say as representing, oh, that's why there are these problems that we have observed, you who come in there to looking, you know, and see the product or whatever is going on. So that is my bottom line here, that is there a realization in that? Have you found yourself also, you know, with this problem that I am outlining? And if so, what is being done? Is there anything at all being done to really get this thing, you know, cut up, sorted out, put in clearer lines and streamlined? Because that would help, you know, I'm sure, in a big way to solve some of the problems that exist. Yeah. Thank you very much.
I think part of our being here is to make laws and taste those that we think that they don't fit. So some of the things are going to be hitting the head, nothing.
Thanks, Sebastian, and thanks for the presentation. My sub-question is on organization. Do organization have any bad impact on the national education? And if so, what has bank done to remedy the situation? Two, as bank is responsible for standards and quality of nursing education training and also oversight function, looking at this integration of a four-year course, midwifery, community health, and psychiatry, together with general, how do you see it for this four-year diploma through your analysis and study? Is it uplifting the nursing standards into the quality of nursing care? If not so, what is your recommendation to such regarding the regulation? The last and the third one, on service standards, and we know that the notification for duty care and also the ethical code of sanctity and preservation of life, and that there are principles that guide the message, like the principles of benefit and good for the patient, and also to maleficent, and also justice so that the advocacy for the patient. How do you view this in the democratic society? How do you see now as an officer in that? What are the methods doing for the patients to do the principles of the good principles so that they can work properly? Thank you.
Mike?
Thank you, Chair, and thanks to the ladies for the presentation. I must say I'm quite shocked at how cumbersome the whole process is. It's mind-boggling. Given the fact that we have such a shortage of nurses in the country, one would think that we'll be more responsive to the needs of the country than drowning in red tape or choking ourselves in red tape. It's just mind-boggling. But I just want to get some clarity, please. I've received letters from people complaining where they want to open nursing colleges, that you said there's a moratorium on the establishment of nursing colleges. Can you explain how long this moratorium has been in place, why it's in place, and when will it be lifted? Because I appreciate the fact that we don't want bogus nursing colleges or schools, I mean, and they must meet minimum requirements. The fact is, we also need to be responsive to the needs of the country. So what is happening with this moratorium? Can you just unpack that for me? Then, there's so many questions I've got to ask. The accreditation of colleges, both public and private, do they both have to meet, and schools, I mean, well, when I say colleges, I mean all institutions, so do they have to meet the same standards or the different standards? I know you said when a private school has to be, or wants to be registered, they've got to meet additional requirements with the Department of Education, but that does not, I hope, include standards of teaching or training. And how often do you actually monitor or evaluate all the different institutions, public and private? Because you say you can take the license away from an institution, how often do you visit them? How many inspections have you got? And when last did you actually take a license away from an institution? If you can just elaborate on that. Then, Chair, if you may, when we went to the Eastern Cape about 2 weeks ago, there was a terrible situation where in one of the clinics, people couldn't access the ARVs because the queue was so long and there was only one pharmacist. Now, as far as I know, and maybe you can put me in the right direction, there used to be a time when nurses, certain nurses, could dispense medication, but I believe it's prohibited at the moment. Or there's certain regulations that need to be put in place before nurses can dispense medication. I was wondering if you could just maybe enlighten us in that situation, because it would help tremendously in many hospitals and clinics if nurses could, those that are trained obviously, dispense medication. And then, Chair, just one last question. I've also had several complaints that you may or may not know from people who have qualified overseas or have moved here because they're married to a South African. I mean, highly qualified people who want to work as nurses in the country, and it's taking us 2 years to get registered. And they're so frustrated, many of them actually leave because they can't afford to only have one income. Why is that the case, and what are you doing to streamline the process to speed up the registration of foreign nurses in the country? Thank you.
Yes, Emma.
Okay. Thank you very much for a technical presentation with a lot of information. My question is basically, it will be to some extent the repetition of what Mike has just said, but Mike has spoken about the accreditation of the colleges themselves. And I heard the chairperson say, to some extent, you're also responsible for the accreditation of the clinical institution where the students do their practicals. Okay, looking at that fact, at operational level, you see something very, very different. For instance, I'll be very clear about it. Christian Paragon Hospital is one of the clinical sites. And what we see practically, honestly, it actually comes to the same question, how often do you do your accreditation? And, I mean, where do you publish the results of the accreditation or the oversight visit itself? Because the state of that hospital, honestly, I wonder how the students cope in terms of learning the right thing in terms of quality of care. And my second question is about the nursing clever night schools that we have. What is your take on that? What is your role in eradicating such? And, I mean, what is going to happen to those innocent students who enrolled in those colleges, not knowing, maybe checking if they are qualified colleges? I mean, is there anything as a nursing counselor? Because these are people who actually wanted to be nurses or nursing assistants to help in terms of service delivery in South Africa, but eventually they found themselves in such a state of affairs. Yeah, I think for now that's the thing. Oh, how long does it take to register the nurses? Because there's been some few complaints that people have been waiting for them to be registered. They can't, I mean, within 3 months, people are unemployed because they don't have that whatever number, I don't know what to call it. Thank you.
Maybe you can add there that if we find this bogus nursing colleges, how do we report? Who do we report to that the such a school? Can you come and say what's happening?
What change has to be made to make it possible for private health sector to be better utilized in terms of training nurses? Are there blockages in terms of legislation? Attitudes? Where's the problem with that? Because obviously we need to access that sector. And then generally what needs to be done to radically increase the numbers of nurses graduating? So that's generally what's the issue. And you mentioned the training was moved from hospitals to provincial colleges. And I'm sort of thinking, is this a good idea? Does it improve standards and numbers? Does it reduce it? The thinking there is that I've had nurses say to me that there was a time when training was on the job in hospitals, and that nursing has now become too academic, and we're turning out academics and not people who are suitable to the actual job of caring and nursing. So I wonder if you could just comment on those things.
My please.
The nice presentation, Umam. You know, the questions they ask are also the questions into this question of after accreditation, how long do you take to monitor? And then when you monitor, how long do you take to either suspend or withdraw? The other question is that the list that I'm seeing of either schools or technicals or technicals are so long that when we hear of the shortage of nurses, now the question arises, the estimation as to how many nurses do register per year, but also how many of them do get to the last point, like you can register and hear dropout. How many do qualify or pass at a certain time, either per year or whatever? My last question is, there are this, you know, what they call fly-by-night. How do we know which one is which? Because some of us just even in these suburbs and buildings where our kids do register, but we don't even know what the people look for. And I think the other ones will come in.
Thank you, Chairperson. Most of the questions I wanted to ask have been already asked, but I have this. I would like to know from the South African Nursing Council about the future of enrolled nurse. I know that at a certain stage there is a breaching court. But you find that most of them, they don't, like, go through. They come back in stuckness. Now it becomes a problem in primary health care. And a follow-up, it will be saying, how do you monitor the allocation of nurses in facility as such? Because to me, to see an enrollment at a clinic, it is really a disaster because that person cannot really, we normally call him Mamanta. She's doing a duty of a professional nurse at a certain stage, doing a duty of an assistant nurse at a certain stage, but you still find those people at the clinics, and I think they are better based at the hospital where they can do according to their scope of practice. And there is this practice whereby when a four-year student couldn't complete, she failed the 4 years, there is conversion whereby is either been given the assistant nurse, either been given the enrollment, or double qualified, all those things. I would like to know how sure are we, because that person, she was there for a comprehensive course, she was not there for enrollment. When you convert that, What do you look? Because at the end of the day, there is a problem. In the accreditation, I know that you accredit for the practical, and I think my colleagues have already asked how sure that when you say that Morosi Clinic
can be accredited for the students to come and do their practical. You do it once, then how sure do you know that that is sustained? Because you may be, at that time, I may be preparing for accreditation because the normal thing, preparation is being done. Then when you go back, there is a collapse, and the students are coming there, and it doesn't give what it's supposed to. And at a certain stage, you find that that facility is accredited for doctors, comprehensive, and nursing assistant, all those things, and they are supposed to be doing, the sisters there are supposed to be mentoring. Because, and how often are you sure that the mentors from either university or colleges goes, follows the student? The last one. The issue of dispensing costs. Where I come from in Northwest, it was given to two providers. The other provider, the nurses used to pass easily. The other one, the nurses used to fail drastically. You send 10, only one or all of them fail. And when you look, the department was really paying a lot. How do you, how is that done? And I'm very sorry I said the last one. But can I go to the accreditation, because I wanted to even talk about the accreditation of programs. I don't know, I call it, maybe it's not the way you term it, whereby the health center or the clinic is being accredited to provide CTOP ARV. How involved are you? Because from my background, I've only seen the department coming to accredit. And to me, when I'm sitting here, I think the South African Nursing Council must even be there, be the one which is accrediting. Because at the end of the day, and I will tell you, we prepare for accreditation. The nurses prepare for accreditation. If ever you can borrow pizza from whatever, you prepare for accreditation. And you know, it is because we know that you never come back. Now, I want to know the involvement of the South African Nursing Council in the CTOP program and ARV program. Thank you.
I think those are the questions. There's somebody who asked questions, but you saw her walking out. It's not that she's disorganized. We've asked her to go somewhere. If you could share those questions that she asked you, so that when you answer, she's going to come back. With us, Ms. Imma Mukenya, the one who was sitting there. You know, one of the reasons why we called you is because we think that there's a problem of quality and quantity. So we wanted to understand, but it seems very clear that you have got your own challenges. And we would be interested in knowing how far have you gone trying to sort out those challenges, because we think the quantity and the quality is impacting by what you have just said. The other interesting thing is that we are in South Africa. And we are supposed to be informed by what's happening in South Africa. Is the curriculum that you are having, is that curriculum made for South Africans? As we are, we are asymmetrical, but we need a curriculum that is going to be taking care of things, that is going to make a lot of people not to move to somewhere else, but being interested in working here. There was a question which I'm sure you're going to answer about some of the nurses doing doctor's work, whether that is regulated or not. But I think it's something that is happening in a lot of areas because there's a shortage of doctors. It's already happening. The angle that I want to come in at is, do you think that if I'm a nurse, I'm employed as a nurse, and I happen to do doctor's work, do I need to get more remuneration than the one who's not doing that? I think it goes to say, with those who nurses who go to what we call the mobile clinic, because the nurse becomes a driver and becomes a nurse at one time, and at one stage, the other time, she becomes a driver. Oh, you could go and tell her. I don't know who's here though from the department, but I'm sure if there are any people from human resources department, they can help in making us understand some of the questions. If they are people, but if they are not, it doesn't matter.
Decisions. Ron's response in terms of the question that related to duplication. And probably as other generic questions that should cover a number of areas that have been raised. It's the area around how do we ensure quality. The council in terms of, since traditionally we've been responsible for quality assurance, both programs and sites. Program in terms of making sure that the curriculum are developed through a defined process and then determining what needs to be taught, determining the hours of teaching, determining the hours of track in terms of the content. However, with SAQA taking over that kind of a role, and CHE recently coming in to be a player as well, I think at our level of delegated authority, we cannot resolve our responsibilities because we are tasked with similar issues. And when we get out there, who is who in terms of ensuring control? And providers are very angry at us. Today, Council on Higher Education come and assist you and assess the quality at university. Tomorrow, council come and say, this is a professional education. I have to ensure that it meets. So we haven't really resolved at that point because these structures being established, they are given same or similar responsibilities with existing structures. Coming to controlling clinical sites, sites belong to the Department of Health. Sites belong to the Department of Health. And until in the new act, the old act, council has no authority in terms of quality assuring the site in terms of ongoing quality. It was the role of the Department of Health, except that the new act allows the council to assess and do an inspection of sites much as we do with the curriculum, but it's only new in the Act of 2005. And as you would appreciate, the full component of the new Act has been fully promulgated in 2007. Although, promulgated section by section. So the whole Act has been fully promulgated in 2007. And what we are now currently doing, we are busy developing regulations that will spell out how do we then implement the new provisions in the new Act. And that is what we are doing. And again, we're doing it jointly with the National Department of Health in terms of submitting the regulations, and they go through public comments, and then they are finalized after they've been gazetted. So we are in the process of developing those instruments. And it is at that level that we realize all these kinds of overlap in terms of who's who. Recently, we have started engaging with Council on Higher Education and with SAQA and Umalusi. We've had about 2 meetings, and it became clear at that level that there is nothing we can resolve on our own because we're all on a mandate by our own principals, different principals, but we need to get our principals meeting to engage with each other at a higher political level. And that is where we are in terms of trying to get that kind of a meeting.
Before you go on, I said the reason why, one of the reasons why we call the quality and the quantity.
Mm-hmm.
And the unfortunate part is that if we've got that quality and quantity, when something happens to our people, you'll never bring them back when they go fix up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it means that something has got to be done urgently because it seems as if you are non-functional
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm.
As a council. So we just want a clear advice from you, because even if the politicians are going to sit down and talk,
mm-hmm.
but they need information from you,
mm-hmm.
would you be able to tell us exactly what you think we need to do as this committee so that this thing could be changed as of now, could be corrected?
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering, is that part of the, you know, the question, or will it come, in fact, when they've answered, they've responded to me for the, you know, the questions that have been raised in the
debate?
I'm not sure if I'm
wrong with the chairman. But in any case, why don't we leave them to finish that?
Can I just ask the question? Because I read the general statement, and I did not
take,
the question. It's just a question. We
perhaps... Lady Manson, the way we need to do it, because we've asked questions, all of us, so yeah. But we're still going to have a second time.
Okay. Maybe before I look at the rest of the questions, there are actually quite many. There are 21 by now. I think I just need to add to what Ms. Makanya was saying. To say sometimes one of the challenging things is that we have legislation that is passed. We've made reference to the Higher Education Act of 1997, and we begin putting in place processes, developing systems to try and work coherently. And you do find that at times, while you're doing that and you think you're just getting there, then the activities are overtaken by events. For instance, the amendment of the very same act in 2008, promulgated this year, has changed a lot of things. And it looks like you're taking 10 steps back. For that matter, in the last meeting that the chairperson is referring to, as we are trying to map out the process of how do we interface our activities as this council, we come to realize that with the reconfiguration of the department, for instance, higher education is no longer just the Department of Higher Education, it's the Department of Higher Education and Training. Which means then we find CHE having now to start afresh and go and consult with their principals, which means we're going back on the processes that we had started, because there was actually quite a lot of groundwork covered in terms of the old act. So those are some of the things I think that keep setting everybody back. But coming back then to the rest of the questions, I think one of them was about the amalgamation and rationalization of colleges and of nursing education institutions and their impact. The general view that we have got is that there are mixed results. There are some of the institutions that were very strong in certain areas, in areas of provisioning, in areas of research, in areas of resources. And where you've had an amalgamation or a merger with an institution perhaps that did not have that much, the general view is that that would assist at least one institution and assist the students there. But the process has also been cumbersome in a sense, because what you find is the amalgamations or the mergers that have occurred in certain areas were of these similar institutions in terms of what is it that they are offering. And administratively within those institutions, perhaps as the nursing council, we've also found it difficult eliciting the information that would assist us to say now that you are one when you were two before. What becomes of your governance structure, your management structure, so that we know exactly who deals with things for nursing education and so on. So we think it has worked in certain instances, but in other instances, there are still challenges that need to be worked on. And obviously, the offerings that are different from one institution to the other, some of the institutions have not come to consensus with regard to what is it that we're reaching out and what is it that we continue with. And with some of those institutions, we're still trying to actually get their streamlined offerings. In most of them, we have been able to do that. That is, if we're talking about the combination of the institutions like the different universities with universities of technologies and so on. With regard to the colleges as competencies of the Provincial Department of Health, one thing that we have noted is that the rationalization that has happened with the colleges has been quite useful in many provinces. Because what you found is that in about 2, 3, 4 years ago, there are some provinces that decided to say, while we previously had 3 or 4 colleges in the province,
offering differently, assessing differently, affiliating with different universities, and then obviously having different standards of provisioning within the province. Why not have one provincial college that is going to operate from one system but have many campuses? And the rationalization that has occurred there was to say, if in the four or five campuses we're offering these programs, we focus on them, and in the next two or the next three we focus on post-registration, like the experience nurses for ICU or midwifery or theater and so on. So the general observation is that for colleges, the rationalization is in terms of offering. It's proving to be working well. They might be experiencing their own internal challenges. We take that as part of growth, but on the whole, from our observation, it is very easy to focus when you know that these institutions are not offering the whole range of programs, which may be up to 21, but they are focused on three or four, and the rest is focused on five and seven, and so on. So we found that quite useful. The question around, I would like to take the moratorium question last, because I would like to dispense with some of the generic questions. We asked a question about the dispensing, the nature of training, the role of a nurse, and the different, apparently, quality of training in those providers. What is our understanding here is that dispensing, by definition, is not a key responsibility of a nurse. Dispensing is an activity that falls beyond the scope of practice of a nurse. But we do realize that the country runs short of doctors, it runs short of pharmacists, which is why then the nurses begin to be asked or begin to be moved from doing nursing duties into doing other duties for other professionals, which then further perpetuates the shortage of nurses. With regard then to the training for dispensing, because it is a competency of the Pharmacy Council of South Africa, that is the council that accredits the providers that do the training on dispensing. And once a person has completed a course at that accredited provider or school for dispensing, then they get a license. It will only be then that they say, as a nurse, I have got this additional certificate, which means outside my key performance areas as a nurse, I am also capable of dispensing, and the council will then keep a list of those nurses so that we know where they are in the country. But it's actually a service issue, and it's a service issue between the Department of Health mostly, because that is the shortage of doctors and the shortage of pharmacists, and the taking of the nurses to do these other duties is actually assisting in those areas, as well as the Pharmacy Council of South Africa. Foreign nurses, because I think that's also...
Can I just add one more thing in terms of dispensing? In terms of the Health Act, it is the responsibility of Director General to determine areas of need and be able to allocate people accordingly. Sorry, Chair. With the dispensing, the Health Act dictates such that the Director General for Health at the National Department of Health has a responsibility of doing needs assessment in terms of people that can be then sent for training for dispensing. If they pass needs in Eastern Cape, then people can go and train. But you can train and get a license. But if you are in a province where it is not deemed as an area of need by the Director General, you shall not dispense in that area.
Perhaps one other thing, Chairperson, is that even then the permit, because you've got to hold a valid permit, that permit is not given even by the Pharmacy Council that accredits providers. It's not given by the Nursing Council. It's got to be given by the Director General of the National Department of Health, or alternatively a dedicated MO in a province. Foreign nurses. Honourable Chairperson, we know this is a very challenging area. The role of the South African Nursing Council in the whole process of recruiting health professionals into the country is that of registration. And the council in its policies is actually working towards aligning its activity and supporting the policy of the National Department of Health that relates to recruitment of health foreign professionals. And that policy, in our understanding, is drawn with an understanding that our government has got agreement with other governments, particularly in Africa, but we'll talk about other countries as well, and particularly in SADC. And in that policy, the foreign health professionals are allowed to come to South Africa to study. They are allowed, and then after studying, go back to their countries. They are also allowed to apply and come to South Africa to work for a limited period of time, in which case then the council would register, give them limited registration, and the limited period of time is about 3 years, unless the National Department of Health determines otherwise. And the reason is the agreement with the SADC countries, in our understanding, is that while South Africa will assist to complement the development of their human resources, South Africa will not be seen to be poaching on the resources. Therefore, taking this from the policy of the National Department of Health, the role of the council then becomes registration of businesses, not allocation into health facilities. That is the prerogative of the Department of Health, and also not issuing permits or support letters. Now, over the past years, there have been serious difficulties with the registration of foreign nurses at the council. But I would like to assure this committee that, except for sporadic cases, anyone who connects with them, for about 6 months now, we are quite happy with the way things are happening. But I'm happy to outline what the problems have been, because they are multi-pronged. One, we did have internal processes that were problematic within the South African Nursing Council itself. And we want to believe that the improvement that we've seen, at least markedly, from February 2009, are due to the fact that we have worked through those processes. We've increased their examinations because they've got to go through examinations and they are waiting periods. We've worked through those processes internally. And for now, we are very satisfied with the turnaround time for registration of foreign nurses. Let me say the reason why perhaps it takes long for a foreign health professional to get ultimate registration, because I think that is the problem, is the first port of call is the South African Nursing Council, where a foreign health professional will knock and say, I want to come and study, or I want to come and work in South Africa. Now, there are about 5 to 6 role players that we depend on as the South African Nursing Council to ultimately, at the end, they issue a certificate of registration, without whose cooperation it cannot be done. One, the foreign health professional needs to have well documentation. I will not go into details. For them coming into the country, their permits and all of that from foreign affairs has got to be in place. But secondly, the National Health Department, through a directorate known as Workman Foreign Program, is responsible for saying the foreign affairs have vetted this person, they are okay, they've declared them as a refugee or otherwise, we are therefore giving them a letter, usually a first letter, to support them to either look for a job or to seek employment or to seek for an area to study. Now, once those things are there, remember these people have been trained outside, but over and above that, even their general education is from outside. And in this country, we have got a directorate within the same South African Qualifications Authority that has been given a mandate of verification of foreign general qualifications as well as professional qualifications. The South African Qualifications Authority has got to say to us, if this person comes to study, maybe they've already admitted them, let's say the University of Western Cape, without these processes. If this person is coming here to study, this person needs to have an equivalent of our matric or our senior national certificate.
and we are finding that this person does not have that. Now, remember, the first letter is already sitting at the nursing council. We are going for 4 months, 6 months, and so on. Secondly, they've got to verify the professional qualifications. But in their verification, they give a generic overview, and they say the council, when it looks at the actual transcript of training from the country, is the one that is going to determine whether this person is really at par with the registered nurse in this country, or an enrolled nurse, or a midwife, and so on. Now, for us to be able to verify that, we need two things, and these are the things that usually now take months with some of the countries. One thing that we need is to say to a country of origin, a foreign country in origin, where is your council? We get to that council and we say, one, we have so-and-so who has applied to be a nurse in South Africa to work or to study, in fact, usually to work. We would like to find out whether this person has got the qualifications that they claim to be having. Some of the times they'll say no. Most of the times they'll say yes. And we're saying then we also need you to confirm to us that this person has got no pending professional or criminal cases. Some of the times they'll respond very quickly. Some of the times they'll respond after months because of follow-up writing, because the countries are not the same. The third thing that we also need is to say, now, with regard to the training, we can't ask the regulatory body of that country of origin of a foreign health professional. We need to connect with the school where this person trained. Now, the school has got to give us details of the transcript, which is the one that is going to be analyzed, so that if this person claims to be a registered nurse, we have got to evaluate and say, in essence, this person, according to the requirements of South Africa, is on par with a registered nurse in South Africa. That process at the council, if there are many applications, yes, previously it has taken long. But what is the challenge is the nature of submissions from those foreign countries. It's actually the return. Sometimes they never return. At times they do return after years of follow-up. At times they're very, very quick, especially in the African countries. Now, when it comes to some of the advanced countries, because I think that was the focus of the question, we also have a lot of serious challenges from there. We do have nurses that would come and they've got programs that are almost similar to those of South Africa, and we don't have a problem where they are assessed and they get registered. But we also have some of the countries where part of their nursing occurred during schooling, home craft and all those things. And it was part of secondary teaching or part of high school or post-secondary teaching, and it was not nursing. And on evaluation and on looking at the weighting of the minimum requirement for a nurse in South Africa, we find the person wanting, either in theoretical input or else in the clinical hours that they spend. If in South Africa we are saying for an enrolled nurse, for an example, you need to have spent about 2,000 hours minimum, we have found that some of the foreign nurses have got less than 1,000. What does that say to us? It obviously means that upfront we must say we are unable to register you as a registered nurse, because your clinical exposure, giving you the clinical competence of a nurse, of a registered nurse in South Africa, is not evident. You therefore need to undergo further clinical training, and this is where we get a problem. And in fact, Honourable Chairperson, we are told that as this country, we have to accept anything that comes from developing countries, and I think there are problems. So in essence, we do find that another factor is that the 2 years or 3 years is not delayed registration, is total unregisterability, where because the person does not, even with constant follow-up, meet the minimum requirements of the country, then we are saying we can't operate as a direct. We cannot give you a registration when we know that you do not meet the minimum requirements. Now, there are a series of processes that we've engaged in. One, we have corrected our own internal processes. Two, we have increased the number of exams. But we are also engaged in some of the countries where, for instance, let me give the DRC as one of the countries where we had a lot of challenges. We have now ultimately found, because there was a problem finding, locating even the nursing councils to know that people coming from there are actually nurses. We have actually ultimately, I think last month, yes, in June, we've actually had the first meeting with a person from DRC who is now working at the South African Nursing Council after having gone to the embassy, after having gone to, I can't tell you where, Foreign Affairs to say, can we put our things into your bag so that we're sure that they reach the RC, because those things go in and never come. And obviously, we know the frustration that the foreign nurses undergo, but unless we've got the documentation that says they are nurses and they are that caliber of a nurse, it becomes difficult for us. So this is the reason why then the 2 years is an issue of not being registrable, and then, of course, the unhappiness that goes on when a person says, I am, and we're saying we are not, and we're digging our heels down. So at the moment, I must actually confess we are quite happy. We've not been happy with this process at all. But over the past 6 months, we are very happy with how foreign registration is working, but we'll continue working because there is still much, much room for improvement.
Maybe while you're at registration, to conclude the questions around registration, our own internal candidates, we've had issues, and probably that's where people have complained that when they apply for registration, especially for additional qualifications, it becomes problematic with the council. It's the problem around our registration of additional qualifications is that nurses have undergone this training, applied or not applied to council for an additional qualification, registration of an additional qualification. But because of changes in the incentive scheme in the public sector in the past 2 years in particular, where specific additional qualifications were incentivized, like primary healthcare, a qualification in primary healthcare, then we have nurses who got this qualification in 1997, never bothered to register with council, the provider never submitted completions of training records, and all of a sudden, when the nurse wants to access incentives with the employer, writes to the council, I did my PhD, and it becomes very difficult to try and reconcile those things if they are not done immediately. Whereas, if on completion of an additional qualification, like people who qualified in 2006, 2007, and 2008, the turnaround time could be less than 3 months, because people know that they want this qualification recognized by the employer, they submit training records and completion of training, and the nurses apply because they still have to apply and it's sorted out. So the turnaround time is reduced simply if you do it immediately, but if you had left it for a long time, this is why there's been a delay and people claiming that they can't access incentives because of pending certificates. Others did the additional qualification 10 years ago, went to work overseas, never even informed council that I've completed my course. On coming back, then they want registration, and there's no reconciliation of records between the school and the applicant herself. She's likely to be lodging the applicant for the first application for the first time after 10 years, simply because it's only now that there's qualification matter.
Thank you. I think maybe just to conclude this matter, one other challenge that we have, and it's an ongoing challenge, which again delays, particularly now with foreign health professionals. I think we need to be upfront about forgery of documents from the point of origin and individual. And we then can't register that person no matter how they fight. We simply cannot do that because admitting them into our register is saying they are competent, they are saying they are who they are, and as a result they are going to be given to our health establishment to nurse patients here. And this is a particular challenge during the past 2 years when we've had a cluster of refugees, because that has become a serious challenge because it's a risk group. We know they're going to be treated well like everybody else, but you know, believing a person who comes from the street and has nothing and says and chooses to say, I'm a registered nurse where I come from, or I am an enrolled nurse where I come from, then we've got to have a different set of assessing this person, because they have no papers that verify who they are from the country of origin. Assessing this person and making them to write an exam that would have been written by a person at the same level, making them to undergo a practical assessment so that at least you've got some sense of who this person is before they are registered. And those processes, because the council is not an education institution, it has to negotiate with provinces where there are provincial colleges, and our nurses, the foreign nurses, have got to have documentation from the council. And sometimes when they feel like being dodgy, which is a very common feature,
then they simply go there and they do not produce what we say they should be producing, and one exam after the other, they are not taken by these colleges, and that actually extends the time. The council is sitting 2 years, 3 years, sitting with an application. Because another thing is, once then we've completed with all of this, we subject all of them to an examination so that at least they understand our laws and our ethics in the country. And it's only after that, when they pass, that the National Department of Health is going to now say, ultimately, here is the second letter. We are now giving you the ultimate right to go and work at Province 1, at Complex 1 or Hospital 1, and it's only then that we then issue the certificate. So some of them actually take 1 month, in fact 3 months, some take 2 months, and the others will take 4 years, and the others never, because they just can't be registered. But the complaints would be continuing. On matters of how often do we accredit institutions, the norm of the council, because of the number of schools in the country, as you have seen, if we're to compare, for instance, with the medical field, where they've got 7 universities, I think, if I'm not mistaken, and the number of schools, we said there are inactive schools that are about 145. What we've had previously, before some of these schools became inactive, was close to 400 schools. And because of the number of those schools, the norm at the council, and looking at currency of practice and currency of knowledge, the council has gone on inspections when an institution is new, and every after 5 years. And one other quality assurance control mechanism was to say every 5 years, each nursing education institution would have to review its curriculum so that it is current. And I think this is why the honorable committee member was asking about ARVs, I mean the CTOPs and so on. The reason why is the requirement that each institution reviews its curriculum during that is because you have had quite a number of national health policies that you need to factor into your broader curriculum. But each year, the expectation is that each institution is going to do that practically. At the moment, we must admit that 5 years is not happening. Yes, definitely, it's not happening. And the reason is that this stopped in 2000. This is 8. The cyclic 5 years was stopped in 2005, and this was the time when, as we said, the council was on the cycle accreditation for institutions that train as well as facilities where students are placed, because that is what our act was saying. Then in 2005. Because of trying to align our processes and be law compliant with all of these laws that we're saying, we had to develop new tools in order to encompass the requirements of these other laws. And it was during that time when the regularity of these inspections then came into effect. So they are not happening as they should be, but this is something that is being given attention. So we know about this, Chairperson, and we're quite aware of it. We know it is not good, but it doesn't mean that institutions are not being visited, because there are other requirements. We do visit institutions that we sense there are problems, or we know that they are reported to be problems, or where they request that they need to be visited. But the planned cyclic visits have not been happening. And the main reason was that after streamlining our accreditation system to comply with these other laws, because the South African Qualifications Authority demanded that of all regulatory bodies and all sitters, then we said to ourselves, let's now begin, give ourselves a period of about 3 to 5 years, looking at the number of the schools, to say the new system now, that takes people from complying with only the Nursing Act to complying with the Further Education and Training Act and the Higher Education Act. Having said that, let's now go and inspect those schools and find out how they are doing. And those inspections have been on. We started with the private schools. We have gone to some of the public nursing schools. It's just that some of the clinical facilities then during that period, because the plan was from taking them from complying with the Nursing Act to complying with 3 more acts. And this is the visits that have been done. And this is the reason why the hospitals and the clinics look like they have been neglected. And I think we must really admit to that, because we're working on it and we know the reason why it has happened. Those accreditation visits of compliance are now being finished now in, no, we finished in August, because this is September today. We have just finished them in August.
Okay, you know the problem is that sometimes when you are good at what you're doing, you get more questions. But I'm not saying that you have done well, because there are serious challenges. And it's not evident from what you are telling us, but it's evident in what we're seeing down there. So this is time for us to... That's a few questions that it's now worth.
They're not finished.
They're not finished. Oh, there's still some questions that...
Yeah.
Oh.
The monitorium.
And I think we also, as a council, would like to take this opportunity to see what kind of support can we get from this committee in actually addressing the challenges that we have. For me, the bottom line is that the Nursing Act has new requirements. The health system has changed. Council has old structures to implement the new act. Coming back to accreditation, our plan going forward is that with accreditation, we need to be able to decentralize it. Rather than doing it centrally from Pretoria, establish accreditation committees or teams at provincial level. But council would not have those kinds of resources. Remember, our revenue is only license fees from nurses. We don't get any form of subsidy in terms of being funded to actually implement all these responsibilities. One area that we're looking forward to do is to actually decentralize accreditation at provincial level and probably look at what kind of existing public sector facilities could they be made available to us, so that probably at a provincial level, maybe a facility could be available to be used for council work in terms of accreditation within the province. And secondly, the one good positive provision in terms of the Nursing Act is the new component which the council needs to establish an inspectorate in terms of healthcare facilities. To be able to establish inspectorate, our whole culture and approach is developmental, not punitive, and therefore we need to look at our current accreditation, quality assurance mechanism and reconcile them with inspection, as it were, because it's not about policing, it's about making the system work. Taking into consideration that the reality out there is gross staff shortage, that the health system has its own challenges, and how do we reconcile this and make sure that we are able to meet those goals around accreditation. But in terms of turnaround time, it's because of those processes and capacity within the council. We have ideas in terms of how it could be done differently, but again, we need support from our principals in making it work for us.
Finish all the questions.
No, probably the other question.
That were asked by Uma Mukanya, which you said you should tell them when she comes with them, you can quickly answer. But you still have another one.
No, Mr. Person, we are far from finishing our question. Yes. Mr. Person, just one more addition around the visits to institutions. We know that perhaps the coming of the council chair is quite a lot of weight, but the reason why there's a 5-year period, that is our norm, is because we want to believe that the provincial departments of health have also got quality, internal quality assurance mechanisms that they are going to use in order to make sure that in the interim, because the council cannot be there every day or every year, they've got their own internal quality assurance system to make sure that services go. I think I would just like to come to this one of the moratorium, because the moratorium on accreditation of private nursing schools was first instituted in 2003.
And the reason for each institution was exactly when the council was given the status of being an education and quality assurance body by the South African Qualifications Framework. And this then said, the nursing council has got an existing pool of providers that need to be taken from level 1 to level, for instance, from compliance with the Nursing Act to compliance with other acts for them to remain in the system. And what the council then said at that time is, instead of bringing in a new pool of schools, while we have got 401 to be exact, 401 schools who are sitting at this level and they need to be pulled up to this level, with the resources, like the chairperson is saying, that we have got at our disposal, this is an exercise that we can do and do successfully. And then it means then we have got to choose whether the pool that we have already got collapses and remains at an approval level rather than accreditation level in accordance with the requirements of the country, or we keep on pouring new pool. But there were also other challenges. The challenges that we're meeting with regard to the private school, the quality left much to be desired, and even the applicants themselves, there was, let's put it this way, to say there was a lot of lawlessness, if we can put it that way. And as a result of that, the council then said, let's engage in this exercise where we are going to do exactly what we said we've been doing for the 3 to 5 years, so that once we are through with elevating the existing pool of nursing education institutions so that they comply with the Department of Education's requirements as well, then we open up to new ones. Now, what has happened is the council has said, yes, now it's okay. But the laws have changed, and as a result of the change of the laws, we have got now a new act that has spelled out new categories of nurses by the Minister of Health, and those new categories have had to have a new scope of practice altogether, which has led to generation of new qualifications. Now, with the new qualifications, the council then is saying at the moment, what is the use to all providers? What is the use of getting new providers into the system who are going to be offering the old qualifications that are probably going to be phasing out, instead of focusing on building the system for ensuring that all providers existing as well as new ones get into a system where they are capacitated to offer the qualifications that are going to talk to the categories prescribed in the current act. And this is why I was saying there are some of the processes that get overtaken by legal requirements, and you find yourself taking 10 steps backwards when you thought you were moving ahead. But there's a lot of link, again, that happens between what we have had as fly-by-night schools and also private because of a lot of non-compliance. And the council has worked through that, and I must assure you that whatever private schools, the 81 that we have got at the moment, we are satisfied that the large majority of them, because we had to institute, which was another reason, we had to institute measures to say, how do we make sure that they also comply with the prescribed requirements. And that has actually taken us quite a lot, to an extent where, as we are saying, the 81 schools that we have got, at least a majority of them, are performing as well as the public nursing schools. We know there is still some mischief. You'll always find mischief. But we do hope that now when we move to the new qualifications, when we do that, then the new schools are also going to come on board. Those were the main, which was a combination of factors.
And probably if I could add on the moratorium, is that initially we said, if you look at, probably we had a number of private providers that were taking us to court on basis of the constitution, which says everybody has a right to educate, to run an education program. And they said that on basis of the constitution, they are free to set up any training program without necessarily taking responsibilities on issues of quality. And we had about 3 private providers that were not complying with the standards, that were increasing numbers beyond what was approved, that were not subject, that were taking students for a one-year period, one-year duration training, and take them for 3 years without registering with council, you know, and make all the pre-nursing related calls and tell them that once you are within our system, you get a better chance of accessing a formal nursing program. They will keep those students for 3 to 4 years without reporting them to council, only to find down the line when they are not writing exams that they are not known by council, or when they start complaining as students to council that the things are not in place. So this is why, because again, we can't, it is difficult to actually de-accredit rather than to accredit. So to avoid de-accrediting institutions, because if you de-accredit, again, in terms of other laws like administrative justice, you would need to give them prolonged duration of time to put in order that which is not in order. And yet, there are risks that you cannot take with training programs. And this is why for us, rather than being reactive in terms of dealing with matters that go to court or go into cumbersome processes that requires other administrative justice procedures, then we said, for a while, let's put a moratorium and then put our house in order and make sure that we develop those that are already in our list going forward.
I know you might not have answered all the things that you have asked, but let's give the second chance. And if there are members, there are those who feel that the question was not answered properly, we can go through. But I'm not sure whether to say a new member, but he's an alternate from COPE, Ms. Mbu. So, Ms. Mbu, let's start with you. You can ask your first question.
Sir, you will forgive me for not coming to the fire. Today I am here because of the canal, the Honorable Kamara, not in Zambia. My question is, there are three, but we can summarize them into one. The first one is the chair raised the question of if a nurse is a driver from one hospital to this mobile clinic. What happens there? Is he a nurse or is he a driver there? You know, it's important because that even turns to that in some clinics, a nurse is reduced to be a cleaner at some point. And then at that time, the number of the nurses in that particular clinic becomes less. The service delivery required, it cannot be provided because the nurse is busy washing dishes or cleaning the floor and so on. And the second one here is the, because we are living in a global world, you know, when we are global. Now, you know, my worry is that this SANC tank, SANC, South African Nursing Council, has no body internationally which they affiliated to. For purposes of when a possible, a prospective nurse from other countries comes in, you know, through that system, you are able to go through and check whether this person actually has gone through the necessary training and so forth. You know, this question, the first one, maybe it might have been asked in my absence here, but its relevancy comes to the capacity of the SANC, South African National Council, that is, they are organograph, because in the explanation, it is clear that they were not doing inspections. They are not doing inspections. They are doing them when they are, you know, new applications are that. But in terms of doing inspections, in terms of those institutions that were accredited, that are they still compliant? They can't do it because I think there's a question of lack of capacity. Now one wants to perhaps tempted to ask that is it a question of being they are not capacitated, the volume of their staff components in the or what is it? What is reason of not for them not doing the inspected regularly. Thank you.
The number of staff that you have in your institution. It was Uma Muntuli, then Umwara Mike, and Umwara. Oh, after one. Okay, come on.
Yes. Chair, I have a question on but we are a developing country. In fact, you call us as a developing country. Do you feel we are producing nurses who are fitted to fulfill the requirements of South Africa as it is? We taking the developmental nature of where we are. And really, I think that it takes one to go back and say that what is our dream in health, as the country that we are? Where are we starting to correct the health situation in our country so that we reach out there more people? And I think it's a primary health care and all those kinds of things. So my question then is, are we, as a developing country, producing the kind of our need, not the need of Europe or Canada or Australia or whatever it is? Yeah, our need. And then the question is on education. I may be 19, but I take our training, as in the medical profession. That we've been talking here about too many things happening. So that in the end, it just seems to be confusing to me. Now, why is it we don't have a situation where nurses are trained all in one way? They receive basic training. And then when they finish with their basic training, they can then go on, to one or the other thing. And that basic training should also be, in fact, as far as I'm concerned, actually, private sector training nurses. I just don't understand what we're talking about. But at any rate, if there must be private sector training for nurses, the curriculum should be exactly the same. Exactly the same. And then when they come, so that we know what we have there. And then when they come out with this basic training, we all know that they are like that and where they are. Then there can be specialization thereafter. I'm just taking that from what is happening on the other side, on the doctor's training side. So that's the number two. Number three, I think that one has been making general statement, but now a specific complaint. A specific complaint. The attitude of nurses in general, at most points of delivers of services is not right. Yeah, really, honestly. It is very difficult. I must say this to you sitting there as authority. It's really quite difficult. I've dealt with, the hospital in my own area quite a lot, apart from the private hospital there. But then you go to our private institutions that are there, it's very difficult to really find which the nurses have got what I would expect is the right attitude. And sometimes it affects, even the patients, and everybody else. What lies at the root of that? Because there must be some reason for it. Is it overwork or what? I don't want to, to speculate. But what lies at the root of that? Because I look back, I come from the old days, when really nurses cared, and this was hardly a thing. You get an exceptional nurse who steps, you know, who steps out of line. Thank you very much.
If you could mind time, because we're supposed to be out of here at 1 o'clock. Yes, my
question is very simple. When you started presenting, it was clear who you are, what you're doing. When you started asking questions, I mean, it sounded like shifting of a blame of some sort, that there's so many bodies, start casting 2005, took this responsibility, blah, blah, blah. To some extent, I'm a little confused. In a paragraph form, just tell me who you are. I mean, what exactly are you doing? Now that somebody's doing oversight, the quality part of it. I mean, what exactly are you doing? And between in the interim, when the old Health Act existed, was phased out and the new is coming, what have you been doing? I mean, it's not really clear what has been happening in terms of your role. Because if you were fighting or considering doing something about the quality issue, because that's why we are here, basically, quality issue in terms of service delivery at operational level. Hence, we have to train nurses that we know that they're knowledgeable, they're skilled, and they're professional. And what is the practical role? Because, you know, in health today, we are faced with a lot of, I don't know whether to call it problems or challenges, where we've got a lot of diseases coming out. And if that means our standards and level of training must actually go up with the type of challenges that we have. So what is the practical that you guys are doing in terms of operational service delivery?
I think this goes back to that curriculum. And in addition, what do you do with an individual that does something wrong? Do you dismiss them? Do you remove their qualifications?
Chair, there seems to be...
You are coming after my turn.
Okay. So there seems to be unfunded mandates given to the council for what I can pick up. They expect it to fulfill certain obligations. There's no funding from the department. And this, therefore, has its consequence, the problems that have occurred. So I think that's one issue as a committee we must take up. But just on back to the moratorium, if I may. I know I keep harping on that. Too many questions in Parliament, whatever. But okay, I hear what you're saying about 2003, which is 6 years ago, you put the initial moratorium on. And then now with the new Act, this new categories of nurses, and now the institution, the new scope of procedures, you said, and new qualifications. So therefore, now all the existing institutions must meet those new requirements. But when do you think they will meet those new requirements so you can lift the moratorium on the establishment of new private nursing colleges? Thank you.
Okay, Mark.
Thanks, Jefferson. I don't think my question has been answered at all. Hence, Mama Kuhn is asking the same question but in a different manner. Because my concern is that the nurses we produce for the interpatient court now are far less in order capacity to the old nurses. So I'm worried about this integration because now the courses have been done for 6 years when you are now unpacking the community health, midwifery and psychiatry, including the 3-year general nurse course. So now it is being condensed into one, integrated into 4 years. So I think that is why I've been asking why, if you are happy with this integration through your survey. But I'm not asking the question. Maybe if you can answer my question. I just add one question on that. A nursing practitioner is also granted a permit to register, to have a permit course. My question is that now that people are going nurses are going for greener pastures now to open their own schools, have you got any precautionary measures or any control measures so that they don't all go and make the same, maybe they are adding to the 81, which you are talking about, I'm not quite sure. So what measures now are they in place that you are taking into consideration so it's not to blow over this profession to the private nurses who go there for their own purposes, their own purposes, and also that they are now going to, they're just saying that we want a better life for all. Now they are going to have much money to be paid by the nurses because
children want to play, children want to be nurses, and then they go to those private nurses institutions so that they can get the nursing profession. Also, my last is the accompaniment. I think now I heard you saying about the clinical, 2 days in the clinical situation and how many days in the college situation. I'm worried now because I see no clinical accompaniment. Maybe that is why now the attitude of nursing are not taught properly because they are not supervised. If you can explain to if why now is no more accompaniment of the students during their study, their practical period. Thank you.
I think the question around the fly-by-night mushrooming training, it didn't come up clear. But I want to talk about distancing. So, you know, distancing is a dilemma in the nursing field. Because the pharmacists and the auxiliary or assistant pharmacists are not, according to their counsel, supposed to dispense what the nurse has prescribed. Therefore, and we have, it is like that, they are not supposed to dispense. They only, according, it is specific, they dispense what the doctor has prescribed, or medical, whatever. Now, we've got I would like to know, because I was thinking that when the nursing is dynamic, it's not static. When we expand, when we introduce new courses, we should be even changing the scope of practice. More especially the scope of practice of a nurse with diploma in clinical assessment, diagnosis, and care. Because that person has been trained to diagnose, to and to treat, then I think that the dispensing course must be included, so that when that nurse gets out of that course of primary health care, he can dispense at the end of the day, because. Mostly, as a primary health care, we are saying that all the nurses must have primary health care. Now, we teach the nurse how to diagnose, how to assess, how to prescribe. Then, at the end of the day, we don't give her the key to really use that particular skill. Therefore, it is because we are still using the redundant, the old scope of practice. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, sir. Mamuntu and Mr. Langan, guiding to you. Welcome. Mamuntu Mamakai, you have got 10 minutes to answer to all those questions. Welcome, I didn't see you. I've got to put my spectacles. Sorry, I'm sorry about that. No, you should sit here. You should not sit with opposition there. It's opposition that there. All the members are here. That's opposition down there. No, you don't think that Emma is an opposition. It's all the members. The opposition sits at the back. Okay.
Prioritize your question, ma'am. The reason why we hadn't responded is because the chair suggested that you shelve it until you come back. So it wasn't answered in your absence.
Thank you. I have a question about Chairperson and honorable members would like to address the issue. I think in the 10 minutes, perhaps would like to attempt to answer the issue about the quality and also our role, because it does seem like in our whole discussion, some of the things do generate confusion. Rightly so. The question that was asked was specifically about the current 4-year course. To say, do we think that it's fit for purpose? We would like to believe that any field would introduce something and a change is introduced once an assessment has been done. To be quite honest in answering this question, this 4-year course, for those who are not nurses, means that a nurse comes out as a generic nurse, as a psychiatrist nurse, as a midwife, and as a community health nurse, which means 4 qualifications in one tech in 4 years. And we must actually be quite honest and say the sense, and also from some of the many research studies that have been done, and indicate, and also the quality of care that is being given, does indicate that this qualification leaves much to be desired. And the specifics around midwifery, because those are specialized first, and also psychiatry, it doesn't seem like when these nurses come out of this training, they are actually nice and competent, like people who have undergone a 3-year program before and then specifically focused on their midwifery and specifically focused on their side. So it does, the sense, even from service, is that the program has run and the consequences are that perhaps it does not, at the moment now, it is not fit for purpose. And it would possibly be for this reason, Chairperson, that the profession as a whole said the council must think of a different way. The council must, and in that a ministerial task team for transformation of councils, this is why the council has been the first one to have an act that revises so that we have got a different nurse with a new scope of practice. And would like to say, in short, the kind of nurse, when the qualifications are implemented, the ones that are new, that is going to be 4 years or 2 years, is not going to be the same as this nurse who comes up with the 4 qualifications. This is the kind of nurse who's going to be generic and is going to be treated as a general nurse. I think while I am there, would like to take note of what Mamutuli is saying about why not have people undergoing 3 years and then 1 year specifically in a clinical field so that you know that people are competent. And I think that is one of the things that would have to take to council, because we are also here as the ears of the council so that we can say what is the sense that we're getting out of the committee. The second one is around what is the actual role of the council and what are we currently doing. We would like to say, one, the role of the council is that of regulating the profession, is that of making sure that whoever is trained in South Africa is trained through the standards that are set by the council, that are monitored by the council, that are reviewed by the council, but also that the practicing nurse is also through a code of conduct and standards of practice which are available for institutions, that are available for training institutions as well as services, are adhered to so that those nurses in service are kept competent. Now, there is a variety of factors why perhaps the issue of quality keeps coming up. This very factor about what Mr. Mguni was asking about, the extended role of a nurse, where the few nurses that you've got in the pool are used as drivers, are used as pharmacists, are used as mini doctors, are used as x-ray technicians, and so on. Those are some of the things that we think as a nursing council would need, while they are good, because they shortage with the other health professionals. But this health professional is the one that has got to be a stopgap, more or less, for everybody in the hospital when there is a shortage. There's nobody who says a doctor must be a porter when there are no porters. But nurses are easily taken as porters, they're taken as drivers, they're taken as pharmacists, they're taken to dispense and so on. We are not saying that these services are bad, but we are saying we should look at what are the other compounding factors that remove a nurse from the nurse duties so that she's able to give the quality care and actually make her to do everybody else's a job. But there's also a big issue about ethics, a big issue about attitudes, which is quite correct. We, as the council, as a regulatory body, we say in our regulation, here are the standards. We say in our regulation, here is an ethical code of behavior. The employer also has a core responsibility to make sure that the people that are servicing them are applying what the government wants. There is a rights patent, a patient's rights charter, which we feel should not necessarily be driven by the council. The council says, when you have your curriculum,
We need you to factor all these things so that the students that go into the system, they know about these things, they practice these things. But what is going on in the practice? We think we need a partnership from the health facilities themselves where these nurses are trained, because the critical training that takes place is really not in the classroom, but it's where people are demonstrating certain things for you and they're exempling things for you. So the behavior of some of the professional nurses themselves, whether it's due to being overworked or other factors which we cannot go into, is unexplained to us. But we do feel that because of that shortage, because of their own attitudes, because of their own exhaustions, because of their extended roles, they are also not able to give as much as they should be giving to the students. Remember, when we post the students to the clinical area, we're relying on this qualified nurse. But it is this qualified nurse who is burdened with a lot of sick patients. She hasn't got nurses. She has to be a doctor. She has to be a pharmacist. So it's a lot of compounding factors that we have to look at to see whether do we have enough nurses in the health facility, which is the responsibility of health. And if we do have enough nurses, are they being used for the purposes for which they are there? Because that is a critical factor. So the quality of care has got a lot to do with partly the council regulating the right things. When it comes to nurses that are transgressing in their practice, whether they're students or they're practicing nurses, the council has a section that we have not spoken about yet because of the nature of the questions where we're here. The council has a department that deals with preliminary investigations when these transgressions are reported, as well as conducting misconduct cases, and these are just quasi-legal proceedings. The public has a right to report any transgression observed, experienced, especially if it has had negative consequences on the patient. The nursing service managers, the doctors have got every right, and that matter is taken up by the council, and there's a process that is being followed. And the consequences there too, because I think, Honorable Chairperson, that's what you're asking. Yes, we do have sanctions depending on the nature and the complexity of the transgression. There are times when a nurse would have to be removed from the register. We've had those instances because in certain cases, patients do die and babies do die. But we also have other lesser sanctions for lesser transgressions, such as suspension of a nurse, suspended suspensions, and also cautions and warnings. It just depends. We would then, to answer the question, to say what can the public do in that section of the council, is known as the professional conduct section. We would leave the details perhaps with the secretary, if that is okay, so that the members can have those details, because for us it's important to know that the nurses are doing what they're supposed to do. If they aren't, then they have got to be subjected to the committee. During that committee, one thing that we have noticed is that some of the mitigating factors point out to these compounding factors that I was talking about. You may find that a nurse, it looks like she neglected patients, but it was because she was alone instead of having five other nurses, and as a result, one patient is delivering and the baby is dying while she's attending to five or seven other patients. So there are a lot of factors at a service level that have to be considered to make sure that the quality of care of our patients is up to standard.
Yeah, so could you give us that 10 minutes?
Fly by night.
Good. A fly by night. Okay. I suppose that we've come to an end. But can I just summarize some of the things, some of our observations? It might be my observation, but I take it that I'm talking on behalf of the committee. I think our purpose as members of parliament, we just want to see citizens of South Africa healthy, those that are in South Africa healthy. And part of that, some of the people that are in part of that equation are you nurses. And we are told that you are a council and you are oversighting this. I must say, what is very clear is that there are challenges in your council. And some of those challenges are beyond you, which is something that to like to know more so that we can intervene if there is intervention. Part of them are legal, and we need to look at those legal things. But definitely there are bad things. I mean, what we are seeing on the ground is a reflection of what is going on in the council. The second one, I'm not sure if the department is recognizing how important you are in making sure that the nursing services go on well. This I'm saying because you notice that we've been asking about your shortages. I don't think you've got enough staff to do the work that they're supposed to be doing. Neither do you have enough budget, as it was said by one of the members, that your budget probably is too small. Probably the department is not very clear of how important you are in truth. But I must say, in all these things that I'm saying, you have been very honest and straightforward and to the point. And I think the only thing that makes us weak on our side is that we're seeing people who are very diligent and are hard workers. I must say, the way you answer your questions is very honest and it's very straightforward, and it shows that you've got capacity, and that gives us hope that things are going to change. We're meeting you for the first time. I'm not sure whether Mike, with the old members, you have met this nursing council before, but we're meeting them for the first time.
I went to my own.
Okay. So we definitely think, listening to you, we think that you can handle this. Not a task too much for you. It's a task that you can handle. But you need some of the things to help you in doing that. But I would want to suggest that some of the problems that you have, why don't we have another meeting with you? Probably, if it's possible, I'm not sure, but I'll have to consult. We need to call that CHE, the Council for Health Education, and even the Manus and other things, so that they be here. Yeah, all of them, so that they be here when we talk to you. But there's no doubt about it that we are worried on one side, that the nursing profession, the quality and the quantities are not there. But your honesty and your way of looking at things makes us believe that probably they're going to do it. And there's a lot of corruption, by the way, in the nursing, where if you want to go and get, you want to study, you've got to pay a particular nurse. These are some of the things that we know. And we think that those things are happening because there's been a lot of problems in the council itself moving down. But we are giving us hope that things are going to happen. So I must say, I'm not sure whether members you want to attend, but I just want to thank them, honestly. I thought when you were two, I thought you were not going to be able to answer our questions, but you have been up to the standard. Thank you very much. And we think that you are very good in what you are doing. It's only that you need more. You need some more work, some people to help you. Thank you very much.
Because they are women, that is why they are good.
I'm not sure about that. Look at Emma, she's nodding her head. Very much. I'm not sure. Exactly. No, thank you very much, members. I think we'll try and find a date when we're going to be meeting them. While you're here, she wants to say something, but before you say that thing, let's finish our business here. I said there was somebody who was sick here, and I think she was mishandled by the nurses, but we understand now why. So, Member Foley, Barry, I must give you this. So you should come out and the two things, you must come up to the floor so that everybody sees who are sick. No, she's going out of the You can say now that you're well, you can say something. Don't talk about
nurses. Okay. No, my last mother told me that there is nothing that is important than being
changed. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I realized that our session had come to an end. But I think sitting here and reflecting, for me, it's quite a breakthrough in actually beginning to embrace the challenges that we face as a council. You know, we've highlighted problems to such an extent that it wasn't even clear who we are. However, what we would like, you know, in terms of support from the committee, issues are related to the legality of the relationship, and probably the committee would be able to assist us, you know, in terms of threshing those out with other partners like CHE in particular, in terms of nursing qualification. The other thing that we think that the committee can assist us is really clarifying or, I don't know, bringing back to the National Department of Health their role in the work of the council, because without their support, without the support, without the resources, our efforts become in vain. And really, whether it happens at a provincial level or at a national level, but we would appreciate a platform where we could engage and be able to share, if you can do this for us, this is how we can make our work better. If you can provide such resources, and probably we have models in terms of making sure how quality or nursing services could be improved, but you can't do it alone. And really, we would see the stakeholder, sorry, the committee assisting us, particular as it relates to our own department, the Department of Health, sitting together, redefining responsibilities, allocating resources, putting necessary institutional arrangements so that you can be able to execute the delegated function of making sure that nursing services is safe.
I think we have finished, but I must say, the department was invited, and the department is here. You want to respond to some of the things that have been said at the end? Yesterday I was with UDG, and he apologized because he was going to MTS meeting, but he said there were people that were going to come. You want to respond quickly to those?
Okay, thank you. My name is Meg Rabingani from the Directorate of Stakeholder Relations and Management, which is part of the HR branch, which we deal directly with the nursing council together with all the other councils which are managing healthcare in the country. What I can say is that we also acknowledge our part as stated by the chairperson of the council, and I will take back the message to my principals also, so that we can also look at the relationship, because I had raised the same issue also informally with the acting registrar of the council, that we need to communicate on some of these issues, because ideally it's like we've got camps. There is SANC this side, and then there is the department this side, and that relationship has not been actually good for anyone or for the country. So it's good that actually then this is raised also in a forum like this, but we are also working on that so that this relationship can be improved for the betterment of the country's health.
Yeah, I think, remember, let me thank you. In fact, thank you honestly for the fact that you said we need to call the Nursing Council. I think it is very clear now that what you are seeing at the hospitals and clinics, it's a reflection of what's happening within the council, what's happening in the department. And it's actually beyond them. And I think we need, it's a pity that the DG apologized, he could not be here. But I think we need to be very serious in how the department takes the South African Nursing Council. They must take them seriously. So thank you very much, members. Thank you very much, Nursing Council. Ladies and gentlemen, I think we are finished now.
Thank you.